Baseball Tonight is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, April 30th, 2020, the last day of April. It's officially getting later early. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster, only working from my home studio in New York. And Taylor, big night last night for my Vikings. They traded down. They got some value, some extra third-round picks, which I think was smart. They got an offensive lineman. They're loaded up today, third and fourth-round draft picks. Did you watch much of that last night?
I watched. I think I got to pick 31, and I don't know if I told you the other day, but I had my first fall asleep while getting ready for the podcast situation the other night, and last night was the second time that has happened while watching the NFL draft, so I woke up and the first round was over, but I loved it. I really enjoyed it. We had a disagreement before we got on the chair with the commissioner. Not a fan.
Yeah, so here's my thought. I thought it was really cool that Commissioner Roger Goodell honored fans in the way that he did, picking out the one fan from each team. And I thought it was cool how he would show that fan what the pick was going to be before the rest of the world knew. What a cool thing if you're someone who's rooted for the Jacksonville Jags to actually see, you know, the name of your first pick in the draft before anybody else in the world has seen it. But I didn't like the whole thing with his chair. It's like, get over yourself. Like, why, you know, like his chair was a throne or something like that. How about doing something that's related to a player? Like, get me, get me Aaron Rodgers' chair. You know, get me a Tom Brady's chair. Somebody, but not his chair.
I do think you have a point in that we're giving Roger Goodell too much credit for being casual one time in his life. And Now we have to talk about it forever. Like, let's see him in some athletic shorts and, and just an undershirt and watch him play tennis or something. I think that would really endear him to the public.
Yeah, something else besides his chair. Like, I don't know. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way. All right, before we get to the conversation today, we're going to be talking with Carl Ravitch, putting him in a position where he's running some absolutely critical franchises and making decisions about whether or not to be buyers or sellers. And we're also going to be talking with Todd Radom, who has this week's quiz. The Brewers placed ace Corbin Burns on the injured list for unspecified reasons. He won't make his next start against the Dodgers this weekend. Manager Craig Counsell did not specify the reason for Burns going on the injured list and said he couldn't comment on the situation when asked directly whether the Brewers ace had tested positive for COVID-19. Oakland Athletics first baseman Matt Olson was scratched after getting hit near his eye when a ball ricocheted off a screen during batting practice. He has no broken bones. X-rays were negative, but it remains to be seen if Olson will be placed on the injured list. The Colorado Rockies selected the contract of the Pride of Slippery Rock. Veteran first baseman Matt Adams has been added from the team's alternate training site. The longtime first baseman, 32 years old, was signed by Colorado in late March, 118 home runs in his career. Let's get to the good stuff. The Athletics, the Rays, final game of their series. It was 2-2, top of the ninth inning, and this happened.
Castillo delivers, and the 1-1 pitch to Matt is swung on, lifted right center field, going back and over, and reaching up, Phillips, it's over his head, off the wall. Here's Lowry around third, and he's going to come to the plate, and he will score, and the A's take the lead.
Ken Korak on the A's cast. A's win that game 3-2. Orioles and Yankees, Taylor's Orioles, walked it off.
He throws. Mullins swings, hits it in the air, left center field. Hicks has got it. Urias coming. Thrown to the plate. It is offline, and the Orioles win it on the sacrifice fly by Cedric Mullins. They take it in 10 by a final score of 4-3 as Mullins is mobbed out near first base.
Cedric Mullins, one of the hottest hitters in baseball, that from 105.7 The Fan. Yeah, as I was watching that, I disagreed with Aaron Boone's decision to pitch to Cedric Mullins as opposed to walking him. Cardinals and Phillies. And guess what? There was a walk-off there as well.
Pitch on the way. It gets away. O'Neill is going to score. And the Cardinals win. The Cardinals win on a wild pitch.
That from KMOX. The Dodgers continue to struggle. They played the Brewers yesterday. And Travis Shaw was at the plate.
The 2-2. Curveball hit to right. Does this one have enough? It's hooking towards the pole. It's gone. Travis
Shaw, two-run home run. The Brewers take a 2-0 lead on Bauer and the Dodgers.
That from WTMJ. The Brewers win that game 2-1. Now, before we get to Carl and to Todd, don't forget you can watch more than 170 live MLB games on ESPN Plus. You can find all the action at ESPNplus.com/baseball and listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin in the mornings as they break down the NFL draft. You can find KJZ weekdays on ESPN Radio and ESPN2 from 6 a.m. Eastern Time to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can listen to them wherever you get your podcasts. And I also wanted to mention this. On Saturday on ESPN Radio, in addition to Sunday Night Baseball this week, when we have the Mets playing the Phillies in Philadelphia, I'm going to be driving down to Philly on Saturday morning. On Saturday on ESPN Radio, 6:30 p.m., we've got the Dodgers playing the Brewers. And on Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, Mets and Phillies on ESPN Radio.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
Rabbit Train, a busy schedule. Rabbit, where are you this weekend? I got to tell you, I mean, there, you know, it's one thing, let's face it. We wish we could be back pre-pandemic where we have our schedules, we go different places, but the pandemic has introduced this situation for folks like yourself who can do 1,000 different games in 1,000 different cities in 1,000 different days.
Exactly. Yeah, we were just talking about that because we just got the email yesterday, Buster, about traveling to Omaha for the College World Series this June. So it appears as if we will be on site for the College World Series. You know, and that's a little unique because it's 11 days. It's one location. The teams come to you. And in this case, that's right. Here, we're staying put and we're doing games all across the country. It was a great week last week. We did games on the radio Saturday and Sunday and TV Monday and Tuesday. So I think we just enjoy it while we can do it. I know that my boys, Eddie and Tim, love doing it. And, yeah, this week we have games Tuesday and Wednesday. And I almost said to myself, you know what, let's look to see the games we're doing. I didn't do that. So I think the Dodgers are involved. I think the Astros are involved one of the nights. But I couldn't tell you. I mean, I really couldn't. Maybe the Cubs, maybe the Phillies. I don't know, but it's two more games, and we have, of course, Sunday Night Countdown leading into your game Sunday.
Yep, between that show and between ESPN Radio, ESPN Television, you have been incredibly busy. But I'm going to pull you away from that job today, and I am going to turn you into head of baseball operations over a number of different teams, okay? You are today Andrew Friedman, you're Brian Cashman, you're Chris Antonetti, and you're going to choose directions for teams, okay? I really think that what happened with Gary Sanchez earlier this week didn't get the attention that it deserved. Because when you really think about it, these are the New York Yankees taking a guy who is a superstar prospect, a huge part of their future. He broke into the big leagues and everyone was thinking he'd be an MVP candidate for years to come. And what we saw with the Yankees this week was them basically saying, you know what, you are not guaranteed playing time anymore. The golden ticket has been taken away from Gary Sanchez. And now their catching position's open. It's pretty clear that the front office has decided we need a course correction. We'll start with that. You're Brian Cashman. You like what they're doing here?
Oh, absolutely. Look, this has been a team we've seen and read about and prognostications and predictions. And I believe they will hit. I think he's a really good hitter. I think he's worked really hard on his defense, but I don't think that you're losing a great deal. And certainly the way he's playing now and Higashioka's playing, you're not really losing. A lot of times when, a position player, or if you want, because of the NFL draft, a quarterback is benched, it does feel like, well, we're bringing in an inferior product just because the main guy isn't playing well. Not like he hasn't had enough chances. And I think there's a school of thought. When, as you said, the golden ticket gets taken away, it's not as if it's just been willed to you and it's yours. You've got to continue to earn it. This is a performance-based business, and he hasn't been performing. And now we have all the numbers in the world to magnify and justify the decision. So absolutely like what they're doing. I think there's a recognition that, that perhaps there are going to be some other changes that have to be made. But at some point, the players' feet have to be held to the fire. And Brian knows that he's, under a microscope. Boone knows he is too. But yeah, we've been underperforming at the catcher position with a guy that was once a superstar. And this is a justified decision. Maybe it lights a fire under him and he does something differently, because what we're doing ain't working.
You are Jed Hoyer. You're head of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. Your team now is 11-14. You knew coming into the year that you potentially could be big sellers during the year because you have something, like 15 guys in the last year of their deals before they hit free agency. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Javier Baez. And here's another factor, too, in terms of making that decision about whether or not to be buyers or sellers. Because we don't have expanded playoffs, there probably are going to be more teams selling, more teams saying in July, you know what, we don't really have a chance to make the playoffs. We're going to be moving. And so if you're the Cubs and you have this huge volume of players you might be marketing, you might want to be aggressive. And you might want to say, well, you know what, we're going to make that decision in mid-June as opposed to the third week of July. If you're Jed Hoyer and you're watching what you've watched so far this year, are you now telling your scouts as the minor league season starts, look, prepare for the possibility that we are going to be doing major sell-offs sometime soon?
Yeah, this one I find to be the most difficult because I believe that the players that are the core of that team, and I'm talking about Contreras, Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant, that those four are part of what can still be a championship quality team. But you'd have to do things like add pitching. You would have to probably add some more bat in the outfield because you're not getting a ton of production there either. I think the Cubs, with the moves that they made already, obviously the Darvish deal, that one foot is out the door and it's really hard to bring it back in and say we're in this. I think the mentality is we've committed to breaking this down. I'm one of those, and I think there's no place better to look than the other side of the city to see how they've operated. They've gone out and made moves quickly before everybody else. So, yeah, I do think that the Cubs are in a position. Look, I look at the New York Mets, a team that's going to be very, competitive given the pitching that they have. They're going to need somebody. Whether you're able to move J.D. Davis, move Pete Alonso, but either Anthony Rizzo or Chris Bryant on that team makes sense. And they just have an owner who took over and is whining and dining folks at his house to understand how they work, how the organization works. So, yeah, I don't even think – I think if I'm Jed Hoyer, I've already made my mind up, and it was let's see what happens here. But the moves they've already made indicate that, again, one is out the door and the other one's going to follow as opposed to being pulled back in. So, yes, I think you continue to make moves. And when the right deal comes up, as early as it comes up, you make that play.
I totally agree with you. I think that the Cubs players were in a position in the minds of the people in the front office of they could earn the right to contend in the second half of the year by playing well. And to this point, that hasn't happened. And so I do think that if you're Jed Hoyer, you're starting to prepare for the possibility of this massive sell-off. This is a really interesting one.
Just wait. But wouldn't you say this, though? If you're a player on that team and you're still there and they've traded away the pieces they have, most importantly, an ace of the staff, the idea that you're letting us play our way into contention, well, you didn't really do a great job of giving us the best hand to play. So there's a part of me that understands that, but it's also kind of the deck is stacked against the player there. And I hear what you're saying and I understand it, but you're asking us to do more with less. And if you were really sincere about this year being a litmus test, well, then you'd keep us at full strength, and you didn't do that. So I hear you, but I don't necessarily think, hey, guys, you perform, we'll fortify. I think they fortify with Diet Coke instead of extra strength Coke. Like, I just don't buy it. I think they've already walked that path, and you know what's going to happen.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And it's a fair point. It is like saying to them, you know what? Go out and compete. And oh, by the way, we're going to tie your left arm behind your back.
Exactly.
You're Farhan Zaidi. You run the baseball operation for the San Francisco Giants. If someone gave you truth serum, you probably would have acknowledged back in December that, oh my God, we're in the same division as the Dodgers and the Padres. Yeah. And our chances for making the playoffs are not great. But we're going to prepare for the possibility that we could have some great tradable assets in midseason and flip them and get some great return as we rebuild. And you look up today and you're leading the National League West, and the guys that you acquired, Alex Wood, Kevin Gausman, Aaron Sanchez, Di Sclafani, they are thriving. Are you now, if you're in Farhan's shoes, beginning to think about having a conversation with your scouts saying, okay, let's start to think about what we need to add during the year?
So, yes, I am. I think that Farhan hasn't gotten the same amount of attention that somebody like Chaim Bloom has gotten in Boston, where he's got
a team.
And we'll
get to him, and we're going to get to him.
My point is, he's doing some overachieving, and in his case, he's got a manager. But look at the players that they've brought in both places. And Bloom comes from Tampa, where they're used to trading assets at their height and continuing to sort of refortify and stay competitive. I think the Giants, to a degree, overachieved last year. I think that they're doing the same again this year. But why can't his experience with Oakland bear the same fruit in San Francisco that people are already claiming Bloom is doing in Boston? So this to me is, and look, San Francisco is a unbelievable baseball city. It can be more construed as a large market team. And I think you get stuck with a label, basically, depending on your World Series appearances, victories, some of the players you're willing to pay money to. But to me, San Francisco is going to be proceeding baseball operations-wise like Tampa, like Oakland, like even Boston in the short term. And I think Boston's going to be more like L.A., where they can spend a lot of money when they see and want to seize an opportunity. But why can't San Francisco become a kind of Oakland, become the Oakland and Tampa of the NL West, which means it's like the last team you want to play? They're not going to have Trevor Bauer. They're not going to have Fernando Tatis. But gosh darn, we are going to play our butts off, and we are going to compete, and we're going to find those guys that have been found in Tampa Bay and other places. And that's how we're going to compete. And if Buster Posey's having a really good year, you know what? I think we're going to be able to sustain success if we happen to have to trade somebody like Buster Posey. But we're not going to trade the young guys who are constantly trying to prove themselves. And once they ripen, if we need to move them, we're going to have this fortified farm system that allows us to absorb that, like Tampa has for years, like Oakland has. Maybe Cleveland falls into that category. So, yes, I think that they continue along the path. They take a deal when somebody's offering for their veteran high-priced players, and they just become the Gabe Kapler, this is how we're going to do it, and I'm comfortable with that. And maybe down the road, if we're ready to strike and we are as good as we believe we are and we're playing consistently for years, we'll invest in somebody with a big, big money deal. But I love what San Francisco is.
All right, let's talk about the Red Sox. And I'm very comfortable giving advice on Red Sox because I, grew up in New England as you did and understand the fan base. I remember last fall when there was hesitation in the Red Sox front office about, well, do we bring back Alex Cora? I was screaming, what are you kidding? You have to bring him back. Like, he is respected. He's a great manager. And in terms of your fan base, you need to buy yourself some time to put in your system. So they brought back Alex Cora. They're off to a great start. The Yankees look vulnerable. There's an opportunity here. And while I wouldn't guess that they probably were sitting in the offices at Fenway Park in December and January thinking, you know what, we might be buyers this summer, I think that now they have an opportunity to win. They absolutely have to get into that mindset of, look, we need to look for ways to upgrade this team, because this fan base will not accept anything less than a full effort to try to win now that they've gotten off this good start. What would you do if you're Chaim Bloom?
I agree with the premise for sure. Just in the short term, having done a Red Sox-Mets camp, you're reminded that you're not going to lose because of a manager decision in-game. Alex is constantly looking three steps ahead. The other night, he had Darwin's and Hernandez up in the eighth inning for Michael Conforto, knowing the three-batter minimum. But if we get in trouble, I need somebody to get this guy out. They got out of the inning. I think it was with Andres, not a problem. And they sat Darwin's in down and brought Barnes in to close. The point is, and again, as simple and as obvious as it sounds, ninth inning, you take a guy, Verdugo, who's been on the bench. He's a little banged up. You stick him in left field because at 80%, he's a better outfielder than J.D. Martinez, who is in the game. It makes sense. So you're not going to get burned, I don't think, in a game because of Alex. You're always going to win that battle or at the very least tie the manager battle. So they're there with that. He does seem to get the most out of his players. They're getting Chris Sale back. Chris Sale's been with him. Chris Sale he's like the fan in a sense, in that, oh my gosh, we are killing it here. I can't wait to be a part of this. I'm in. I'm obviously always in, but wait a minute. If I get a chance to come back in August or something and I'm going to contribute to a team that's in a pennant race, holy smokes. So they're getting that guy back. And again, you can't assume success. You just know that he's coming back. And if the surgery worked out well, they're getting a top-of-the-line guy to pitch. I don't think that they go out and add a superstar player, but I do think that you're adding because you're competing. And I think that's the position they're in. I think it's easy for them to, assuming they continue to have success, play the hand of, look, we got to be focused long-term. We are absolutely going to try short-term. And if that means adding a super utility guy or somebody who is going to be a free agent who we know can help, we'll do that. But I don't think we're going to take on a contract for the next 3 or 4 years just because we're having success. They're in a no-lose situation, but I do agree with you that they have a fan base that'll bail because we're used to winning championships. And we're not going to watch Nesson and we're not going to fill the seats for an inferior product that isn't time. So yeah, they're going to be, and I think they welcome that, in a position to have to try to get better, assuming we're in this race. The other thing too, I don't mean to be long-winded, but you do look at the Yankees right now, and you look at the Rays, and because of that, you say, why not? Whereas in the Giant case, I think you look at the Dodgers and Padres, and realistically, you're not as good, but you are in the position where if things go right, we're going to be a pain in their ass, and I'm good with that. I think that's the distinction between San Francisco having one World Series and Boston having one World Series, both in good size markets, is that the Dodgers Padres are currently better than the Rays and the Yankees.
And I think if you're Heim Bloom, you're looking for great buy opportunities. And you know what?
Yep.
In a summer in which that it looks like it's going to be a buyer's market, that they're going to be a ton of teams that are going to be selling, those opportunities are going to be there if you want to upgrade your bullpen or, you know, a guy for your rotation or, as you said, depth for your position players without having to mortgage the farm system. So I think 100%. They're great. Yeah, I think they're going to be in a great position. All right, Rabbi. Hey, thanks for doing this. And thanks for filling in on short notice on Friday when or Monday when my my plane was delayed.
Anytime. I'm here. I'm like a super utility guy. You need me, Buster, you call me.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
Doing fine, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing great. Before we get to this week's Forgotten Franchise and this week's Wipeout, or otherwise known as the weekly quiz, I want to throw this tweet from a listener at you. Kayaking Smith asked the question, Matt at Kayaking Smith, hey, Todd, the All-Star Game caps are a fun trend lately. What do you envision for this year in Colorado? I want to see each team use their mid-90s logo posted on a black cap with a team color bill. What would the Nats use? Thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, of course, everything having to do with this year's All-Star Game, the theme is done in haste because usually these things are planned out a couple of years in advance. And while I love the idea, I love, you know, let's go 90s-erific. I was there in Denver in 98. I think that the reality is going to be something of brokered compromise. And in terms of what you do with the Nats, a great question. I think the Nats have already broken the seal by having worn Montreal Expos throwbacks. It's a little cringy, especially for those people north of the border, but gun to my head, that's the way I would go.
Very nice. All right. Well, I'm glad you get you're in a position to answer that question because I'm not smart enough to do that. all right. Let's get to this week's Forgotten Franchise. One, which, you know, as I read this today, you sent me the notes ahead of time. I was fired up because I drive through this city all the time.
Yeah. And I've been up there quite often, too. So, Buster, tiny Troy, New York, a Hudson River city of less than 50,000 people, played host to a National League franchise for four seasons. That team, the Troy Trojans, boasted of five future Hall of Famers, one of whom, Roger Connor, made baseball history in a game played at Riverside Park in Rensselaer, New York, on September 10th, 1881. Connor came up in the bottom of the ninth that day with his team trailing by three runs, and he hit the first grand slam in MLB history, a walk-off grand slam to boot. Very, very dramatic, Buster. The Trojans scrapped their way through their four campaigns, never finishing higher than fourth place, but their legacy lives on almost 140 years after their demise. Troy and Worcester, Massachusetts, were voted out of the National League following the 1882 season in favor of two new clubs from big market cities, New York and Philadelphia, today's Giants and Phillies. Expelled from the league, Troy and Worcester were granted status as honorary members of the National League, which they still retain today. As Casey Stengel said, you could look it up. The majority of the New York club consisted of former Trojans, and the Giants' origins are often traced back to Troy for that reason, even if there's no really direct franchise connection. There's a monument to the team and the city's baseball history that stands in Knickerbocker Park. I have visited it, Buster, and you should too, next time you're passing through there. And it reads, birthplace of the San Francisco Giants, which, of course, it isn't, but it's a little bit complicated. Our story concludes in 2011, Buster, when on May 5th of that year, the defending champion Giants brought their World Series trophy to Troy, a much belated nod to that city's place in baseball history. And so the Troy Trojans are this week's forgotten franchise.
That's really cool. And yes, later this summer when I have my vacation at my family's house up in Lake George, New York, and I'll be driving through Troy, and I'm going to look for that, and I'll be sending you a picture, Todd.
Yeah, I have a friend who lives in Troy, but also I have passed through there like you on the way to Vermont. You go up Route 2, you go up Route 7, you Route 2, you hang a right, and then northward on 7, right? So that's it. But yeah, a big monument up there, and as always, history is complicated, but usually cool, and certainly in the case of the Troy Trojans, it's very cool.
So the actual ball field was at the Knickerbocker Park?
Parts of the ball field were at Knickerbocker Park, but if I'm not mistaken, they played in a couple of what we would call neutral locations in Albany and across the river. You know, they couldn't play games on Sunday in those days and that kind of stuff. But yes, there's, and it also, the monument, which is pretty massive, it features natives of Troy who have played in the major leagues, including Johnny Evers, I believe. So definitely worth a stop. Definitely worth checking out.
I'm going to build a couple extra hours into my my trip north this year. That'll be a lot of fun. All right. Now, not so much fun for Taylor is the weekly quiz, which I don't need to say any more. I know when we actually interviewed a baseball executive the other day, Taylor, gosh. He brought it up.
Yeah, he did.
In the conversation, and Taylor was not happy about that.
Big time baseball executive, not rubbing it in my face, but he was like, Taylor, you got to pick up the slack, man, against Buster. I don't know what's going on. So it was a little embarrassing, honestly.
Well, it's time to step it up then. And here is your opportunity, Taylor.
Oh,
let's
no.
go at it, guys.
Oh,
which
no.
Which one of these clubs does not currently wear a jersey with script or cursive lettering? Is it the Pirates, the Twins, the Reds, or the Astros? Which one of these clubs does not currently wear a jersey with script lettering?
Wow.
Pirates, Twins, Reds, Astros.
Does not. Pirates, Twins. Oh, boy. Let's go Pirates.
I'm going Astros.
The route continues because it is the Astros. The Pirates, Taylor, wear the word Pittsburgh in script lettering on their road uniforms, whereas the Astros just have block lettering. So this is just getting embarrassing. We've talked about firing the manager. We've talked about a roster overhaul. I really don't know what to do. I can't put my finger on the scale at the deli counter and weigh this in Taylor's. But I mean, you know, we want competition. We demand competition. What are we going to do?
Well, you might have to pull out the colors, right? I mean, in the end, that's always that's the nuclear option for you in this is to pull out the colors because I'm badly colorblind.
It may happen yet, but I need to be the neutral arbiter here.
Oh, Taylor, you have any words yet? You're just dead silent since another decision came down here.
I think I'm going to get relegated at this point down to the minor leagues. That's the only option. The trap door is opening up on me. So
I believe if a high ranking baseball executive noted this last week, Commissioner Manfred might have to step in. A competitive balance situation is, you know, happening before our eyes.
Can I get a salary cap, please? Someone.
Oh, man.
Oh,
all right. Todd, thanks for doing this. Always great to talk with you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a glorious spring Friday. Let's get to them. Mitchell at Tigers of Detroit writes in, which 11 and 12 team has a better shot at the playoffs, the Blue Jays or the Indians?
I say the Indians. I think with the pitching that they have, the division they're in, you know, being able to feast on the Tigers. Sorry, Mitchell. that they will hang in there. And, you know, when you start with Shane Bieber, that's a good place to work from.
Absolutely. Next up, we have Steven. Oof, I'm going to botch this one. Let's go DeGunther.
Yeah, Steven, that's what DeGunther. I would have done. Nice job with that.
Okay. He writes in, with the recent talk about expansion, how does an expansion team get drafted / created? Major League Baseball player-wise, extra draft picks, extra Rule 5 picks. Do other teams elect players to protect and expansions get to pick from unprotected? What's the deal?
Yeah, the way they did it in the 90s when they had expansion is that, you know, organizations could protect, and I can't remember the exact number, maybe like 30 players. And then other players were eligible for an expansion draft. And, you know, sometimes teams went with veterans and sometimes they went with young players. But, you know, there are a lot of players who get protected, a lot of really good players who get protected. And then a year or two before that, an expansion team joins the Major League Baseball, they get to participate in the amateur draft. So I think it was like 1992, the Rockies and the Marlins drafted for the first time, or 1991, one of those leading into it, so they can start to build their minor league system.
Got it. That stuff is always fascinating to me. Thanks for the question, Stephen. Let's go to our friend Jason Amico at Jason Amico. He writes in, can my Giants pitching staff sustain this all season? And he attached a tweet by via Stats by Stats, and they are the ERAs for the Giants top starters. Basically, they're all, you know, it starts at 1.5 and doesn't go past 2.2. And that's pretty good. Is it sustainable?
No, I don't. Look, I think the Giants, what they're doing, when we talked with Carl today about what the direction the Giants should take, but you're not going to have five starters work at ERAs for that entire season. No, we're talking about a small sample size.
All right. Sorry, Jason. Sorry, Mitchell. Bad news for your teams, but glad you made it into the Bleacher tweets. Thanks for writing in, everyone. Enjoy the weekend full of games, and please rate, review, and follow this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Now, before we go, I did want to touch on this. I've had a couple of people ask me about the half hour podcast, Taylor, where people wondering about, you know, during the regular season, we've been sort of working in that 30 to 35 minute range. And I think that what we talked about last year, and it was demonstrated by the, you know, eruption of numbers that we had, is that the analytics show that people prefer the podcast in sort of a digestible form. Yes?
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, we're putting out a lot of content in a week. So, you know, as we might have many devoted listeners who want to listen to Buster for, 55 minutes, most of you guys aren't doing that. And that's okay. We don't mind it. It's fine. We want to, most people aren't listening to 45 minutes. They're listening to 35. They're listening to 30. So we want to adjust to that so we can have more people listening to the entire show. That's the end goal here.
Yeah. So in other words, a lot of listeners are like my kids, like they can only handle so much of me. Right. And then it's like, my son is like, I'm going to go play video games. All right. That's it for today. My thanks to Carl, to Todd, to Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.